Blog Talk Radio.
Fasten your seatbelts and put your foot on the gas. The Red Light Sports Network presents the Red Light Sports Ramble.
They say it's cool and that, but I don't. They probably don't really think it's that cool.
With Troy Otradovic.
He is really good.
And Evan Witalison.
He's awesome.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Red Light Sports Ramble. I am Troy Otradovic, joined by the marvelous Evan Witalison out in the great state of Wisconsin. Evan, last night you and I probably weren't so marvelous. We were probably a little irate, a little frustrated. So tonight I think we're going to maybe be a little more lighthearted, have a little bit more fun, talk about some NFL Week 2 action, and then as we've done, well, not every week, just 1 week, we're 2 weeks in, we're going to hand out our famous Pooh Ball Award at the end of the show. So I'm excited about that because we've got a lot of nominees for that. But before we get into our show, a lot of action in the NFL in Week 2. How are things out in the great state of Wisconsin?
Well, things are going well. Packer Nation still quite heated. I will say that much due to the game on Thursday. Still heated, you know, but we'll see if it changes a little bit to tomorrow as we get closer to Detroit Lion Day. The Detroit Lions obviously coming to Green Bay on Sunday, so we'll preview that game on Thursday. We'll see if things get better as the week progresses and shifts away from that King loss to what's on the horizon. And, you know, other than that, things are going well. Another great workout in, and I'm, feeling great. I'm about the 3.5 weeks in as of tomorrow, my country heat program, the 4-week program that I'm doing. And, you know, I'm getting quite light on my feet. And, you know, Troy, I started doing some yoga too. And I'm thinking, you know, my flexibility is getting a little bit better. You know, I can start to lift my leg a little higher. Now I just got to figure out how far I can kick a football. Because I think, you know, if I keep doing the yoga, I might do a better job than the Packers punter. So I think I might need to get caught in for a tryout. So anyways, Phil, back to you. I've been going out Western PA.
Well, yeah, I mean, to be honest, I think
I can't
you
do
could
any
probably
work right now.
No, I think you'd go out there right now and, you know, and punt and at least do what he did. I mean, heck, I'll put it this way, Evan. I go to Friday Night Football every week. My daughter's a senior, and she's a cheerleader, so I go watch high school football every Friday night. And, you know, these high school punters that kick it end over end, they actually probably punt better than him. Sometimes that end over end thing, when it bounces, if it bounces the right way, I'm just, you know, you're getting me going already. But, yeah, I think you could do better than him. I don't want to get on that because we got a lot of other games to talk about in week two. But, yeah, I definitely think you might, you know, once, you know, for a punter, you'd probably be a pretty big punter, Evan. So maybe as you continue your weight loss journey, maybe you drop 10, 15 more pounds, then you can get the tryout. So keep going, bud. But, yeah, I think you can do better than him. You can't do any worse. I'll tell you that. But
yeah.
Week two, Evan. Week two in the books, and as we've talked about many times, you don't win or lose the Super Bowl in week two. You can be playing great football in week two, but guess what? You still got 14 more games to play, and you got to be playing your best football at the end of the season. However, you know, teams that are off to a good start are positioning themselves with wins, and wins are very, very much a premium, and you can't let games slip away like the Packers did. So you've got to take every win as they come and prepare for the next one. So let's get into week two, Evan, and I'm going to throw it right back to you. A lot of great games that were going on this weekend. Which one do you want to start with?
Well, here's what I'm going to start with right here. Okay. So, you know, week one, we see, you know, the Raiders look like they are taking a step in the right direction, beating the Saints. You have Jameis Winston looking like the next superstar quarterback in his 4-touchdown performance. You had Jacksonville looking like a team to be reckoned with, taking the Green Bay Packers to the wire. You had a lot of games in week one that made you get really excited about teams. You know, a lot of excitement surrounding Miami and their defense after shutting Seattle down for most of the game. However, the first point I want to get to, the NFL is a very week-to-week league. You know, Jacksonville and San Diego, Jacksonville got destroyed 38-14 on the road against San Diego. But here's the thing, though. You don't want to overreact to that game either, Troy, because Jacksonville had to fly all the way across the country to play the Chargers. That's a tough trip, going from the East Coast to the West Coast, the West Coast to the East Coast. That's a very tough trip. Now, Oakland and Atlanta, the Raiders, though, they have no excuses to make. They're at home playing against the Atlanta Falcons, who are not a very good football team, and they just, you know, the score looks close, 35-28, but in reality, it wasn't that close. The Raiders scored 14 points in the fourth quarter to make it look like a close game. And then Tampa Bay and Arizona, Jameis Winston threw for four interceptions that week after throwing four touchdowns. And this is the same Arizona team that lost to a Tom Brady-less New England Patriots team in week one. And now they destroy Tampa Bay. So the point I'm trying to make, it's a week-to-week league. And I know it kind of contradicts what I said a little bit yesterday, you know, showing some panic over Green Bay. But at the end of the day, you know, that's a different situation to me because, you know, Green Bay has not looked good now for about 15 weeks. Rodgers has struggled since the St. Louis game last year. The last time Rodgers had a completion percentage, I believe, over 60%. So, but that's the first point I want to make. And the game I really want to mention is that Miami and New England game. You know, Jimmy Garoppolo, who many people are wondering what he could do this year, had an incredible start to the game. 18-27 for 234 yards and three touchdowns against the same defense that looked like they're going to be a defense to be reckoned with in week one. And then he gets hurt on his after his third touchdown pass of the game. And then the backup, Brissett, from North Carolina State, he comes in and goes 6-for-9 for a pretty good stat line too. 6-for-9 for 92 yards, and you know he looks like he's going to get to start Thursday night coming up against Houston. Not really a good team you want to go up against. Houston, you know, your first career start, but you know it really makes me wonder, Troy, the Patriots. Even when Brady's hurt, because there's the years he missed, and they went 11-5. And he got hurt in week one, which was the Patriots win, I believe. And the Patriots won 11-5 that year. And now the Patriots have won two more games without Tom Brady. They're 12-5 in games that Tom Brady doesn't start in. There's something about New England and what they do that it seems like you could put anybody back there and it seems like they're going to have some success. And the Dolphins found that out. This, you know, Tannehill, he's a guy that's very up and down. You know, he struggled most of the game, and then the Dolphins scored 14 fourth quarter points. What are your thoughts on New England? They're 2-0 minus Tom Brady. They're unlikely to go 3-0 minus Tom Brady against Houston Thursday night. But what are your thoughts on what the Patriots have been doing so far this year and that win against Miami? A pretty impressive win. I guess a team that really, you know, defense really dominated in week one.
Yeah. Again, I bring this up every time we talk about the Patriots, whether or not you like Bill Belichick or not, you got to give Belichick credit for what he does as a coach. And he has a system in place, a legitimate system. You hear teams say, well, next man up, injuries are part of the game, next man up. It is a truly living document in New England. Everybody's ready to play. Doesn't matter if you're number one, if you're ranked number one on the depth chart or number three on the depth chart, number three is ready to play. Now, again, you got a tough situation come Thursday night, and that's going to be a tough one. But I don't think it's so surprising, Evan, that they're 2-0 because Jimmy G, that's what I'm going to call him, has been in this offense. He had a chance to play a little bit last year. He's in a system where he's learning the system. Belichick has faith in him, and he's done enough. And it's funny, though, Evan, I look at New England, and really the last couple of years, you don't really hear a lot about any of the guys on defense. And it's not a great defense, not a terrible defense. They play good team defense. And, again, you got to give credit to the coaching staff. Now, I'm not saying that it's all Belichick, and you know, because the players got to go play. But it's just there's an aura and there's a system they expect to win. And you do have to give credit to coaching because of the way that these guys are prepared to step in and play. There's you get the level of Tom Brady, and I'm not going to say Jimmy G's at Tom Brady's level. But he played quite well until that shoulder injury. Enough to help them win. And it's just amazing how they put their talent together on their roster, where when a guy goes out, they don't really lose a lot with the guy behind the guy that got injured. And that is in itself an art form. And how do you get that way? You have a good front office and you have good coaching. You're coaching guys up. You're coaching guys to play. So that's where it comes from. Yeah, these guys got to go out and play on Sunday, but you really got to give credit to the way they're prepared. They go out and they're prepared to play, and they have confidence. I mean, that there's one thing to be said about having confidence. You were an athlete. I was an athlete. When you just have that confidence that we're going to win, we're going to go out and we're going to play. We prepared well. We feel that we're going to win. It's not a false sense to try and hype you up. It's a legitimate, we're going to win today. We're prepared. We've prepared well enough, and we're going to step on the field and win. And I think that's where some of the hatred comes in from fans, is that they call the Patriots arrogant and all of these things. I think it's a confidence. I think it's a confidence level. They expect to win. And it's not one of these, yeah, we're going to win because we're trying to hype ourselves up because really we're scared. Legitimately, Evan, confident when they step on the field that they're going to win every game. And, again, it comes from the top down. And these guys are prepared. So what they're doing without Tom Brady is kind of scary. You know, because Tom Brady's going to come back. And Tom Brady, you know, even though he's getting up there in years, he's still a good quarterback. Still Tom Brady. And, you know, that offense, you know, can do things with Tom Brady. But the other side of it is defensively, you know, you're only going to go as far as your defense takes you. And so, you know, to be able to go in and play well against Miami, you still give up 24 points. You know, I think defensively they still got to get a lot better. But, you know, again, against the Miami offense that I don't think is ultimately scary. Now, the Houston could be a little bit of a test. You know, they got a true quarterback now, but I'm more worried about what that defense is going to do to a rookie quarterback. I mean, that Houston Texan defense is just awesome. But, yeah, it's amazing what they're doing in New England. But I want to flip kind of mention, Devin, just in passing. The game that kind of caught me by surprise was the Rams and the Seahawks. And I want to get your take on what's going on in Seattle offensively. I know the Rams have a very good defense. The Rams always play the Seahawks tough. It was a brand new stadium again, the LA Coliseum. But the Seahawks only mustered 3 points up. I'm not so surprised that the Rams only kicked 3 field goals because of the Seahawks defense, but it is surprising to see Seattle and Russell Wilson only be able to put 3 points on the board. Is there a reason for concern in Seattle offensively?
I definitely think there's some concern. I know, you know, Wilson is playing on a bad ankle, so there is that.
but there's no balance right now. Wilson threw the ball 35 times. The running game, 10 carries for Michael, 5 rushes for Russell Wilson, 2 rushes for Collins, and 7 carries for negative 7 yards for Rouse. That's too unbalanced. You know, Seattle, what made Seattle so good was that running game with Marshawn Lynch. He was tough to bring down, and he wore out a defense. He wore out the defense so then Russell Wilson could then pick them apart or wear them out, you know, or wear out the defense later in the game. And I think they're missing that consistent running game. I don't know why they only ran Christian Mitchell 10 times. He had 60 yards on the 10 carry. That's about 6 yards per carry. I don't know why they didn't feed him the ball more. But I think that's the biggest thing Seattle needs to do. They got to find that running game. They got to get that running game going. Seattle is doing something. They're being something that they're not. They are a run-first team that uses that to develop the passing game. They're not a passing team that uses that to develop the running game. They're a running team first. And I think they're missing their identity. That's what I think it is. Defensively, they're still playing great. Their defense is still being one of the best in the league. But offensively, they're not getting it done because they got no balance. They had a total of 24 rushing plays and 35 passing yards. In years past, 35 passing attempts. In years past, it would be 35 rushing attempts and 24 passing attempts. But they just have no balance, and that's going to be key. They have to find that balance, and they got to stop turning the ball over. They had a total of 3 fumbles and lost 1, and then they had 10 penalties for 114 yards. So where's the discipline? But I think Seattle is a team that will figure it out. Seattle started 0-2 last year before they caught fire and started playing pretty good football. But as you said, the Rams, for some reason, always play Seattle tough. They always do. You know, even when the game Seattle wins, it always seems to be a very tough matchup. But Seattle, they got to do a better job, especially up front, protecting Wilson. And I'm seeing some highlights on my computer right now. You know, Wilson was taking a beating. They got to do a better job of protecting Wilson, and Seattle needs to do a better job of committing to the running game. So that's what I feel about Seattle right now.
Yeah, like you said, defensively still tearing it up. And, you know, the Rams, 2 weeks, no touchdowns yet for the I was going to call them the St. Louis Rams. I still got to get over this. No touchdowns for the Los Angeles Rams, Evan, in 2 weeks. Now, again, that's offensively, that's always been the issue with Jeff Fisher coach teams. You know, what are they going to do offensively? But, you know, like you, it bothers me. I guess it doesn't bother me, but it baffles me that you got away from the running game, especially in a close game. There's, you know, do you have to throw it 35 times? I mean, Michael, like you said, 10 carries, 60 yards. It wasn't like he was running 10 times for 10 yards. It's abandon the run. And I don't know if they don't have faith in him or what, but, you know, that's one of those things. We talk about balance all the time. As far as, you know, being able to get things done, maybe there was just no confidence in that offensive line. Because, like you said, Wilson was definitely under pressure the whole day in that game. But, you know, at the end of the day, you only put up 3 points. And, you know, against the Rams defense that I think is good, but it's also, you know, I look at having Russell Wilson in an okay offense. They should have been able to do more than 3 points. So, I mean, that to me, it does look a little concerning offensively for them. But like you said, it's a veteran team. I think they'll figure it out as far as that goes. Next game, Evan, I'll throw it back to you. You picked one, I picked one. What's the next game you want to talk about?
Let me get back to that screen. I still got Seattle up on my computer. So, you know, I
I guess Kyle Dallas in Washington. And the reason I want to bring that up, you know, Jay Gruden, he brought up publicly that he had a closed-door meeting with this quarterback. And reports are coming out that the team is starting to lose patience or whatever you want to say about Cousins. They're starting to lose trust in him. And then Dez Prescott, 22-30, 292. You know, I said when we talked about Washington in the past, with Kirk Cousins, is don't go all in on Kirk Cousins yet because he only is starting for not even a full year. Only started for 1 year. Teams didn't really have any film on him to digest a whole lot. Wait till teams have a full year to study him and learn about his tendencies and his weaknesses. And I think teams are doing a good job of figuring that out. And I bring up Prescott because here's why. Now people are talking about how Prescott is the next chosen one. You know, they're talking about how great he is, how you know, he's going to make people forget about Tony Romo. He's had two pretty strong performances thus far this season. But here's the thing. I just got to tell people to, you know, tap the brakes a little bit. You know, Prescott, you know, he's a young guy. Teams don't know a lot about Prescott. They're still learning him. The only film they had on him was preseason film. And wait a few weeks in the year to determine if Prescott's going to be special because he could just be like Kirk Cousins, who's been struggling this year. And I know you look at his stat line and probably think struggling, but 28-46, 363, he had a touchdown and a pretty bad interception. But what are your thoughts on Cousins so far this year? To me, he's been quite the disappointment so far.
Yeah, I'll let the cat on the
budget. And then what are your thoughts on, you know, people talking about, you know, crowning Prescott the next great thing?
Yeah, you know, your thoughts there, and I'll give my quick thoughts, but I'll let the cat out of the bag. Cousins is on my list of nominees for the Pooh the Bet Award. Just terrible pass in the end zone there with Washington. Decision-making, in my mind, not very good. Washington front office has to look like heroes right now for not committing big money to Kirk Cousins for the long haul. I know Gruden's saying he's his guy. Give him time. But I'll tell you what, 2 weeks in and a guy that you franchise, the front office has to be, you know, smirking in their sleep, commit a long-term contract to Kirk Cousins right now. Now, that doesn't mean that he can't turn it around in 14 weeks. But the things that I've seen in 2 weeks so far from Kirk Cousins, not very good. Not very good at all. And I would imagine that if things go bad in week three, that you're going to see a $20 million quarterback being a backup to Colt McCoy. Because Gruden has been on the hot seat, and if he starts 0-3 and his quarterback is not playing well, he's not going to have a choice. And you're going to have a $20 million franchise tag quarterback as a backup. So he needs to figure it out, and he needs to figure it out fast. If you remember, Evan, I said I'm not jumping on all this Washington Redskin bandwagon hype. I don't know where the hype came from before the season that this team was going to be good. I didn't see it. Yeah, they went out and they got a great cornerback. Oh, well. I didn't know where offensively this team was going to go. So, you know, people can say, you know, whatever with all the hype. I never bought into it. And it's exactly how – I'm not saying it's exactly how I thought it would play out. But the NFL, like you said in the beginning of the show, it's week to week. And so far in 2 weeks, Kirk Cousins has done nothing. He's looked very bad, especially for the amount of money they're giving him. Now, on the flip side – still Tony Romo's team, Evan. I don't care what Dak does until Tony Romo gets healthy. I mean, will you have controversy if Romo comes back and loses? Yes. But I still think that's Tony Romo's team. I agree with you. He's a young kid. And he's having some early success. But he's got a lot of things to improve on in his game. And you also got to look at the rigors of an NFL season. and see what happens when teams figure out Mr. Prescott. You know, when they start disguising coverages, when they start doing things that he's not seen before, that's where the youth is going to come in. And so all I have to say to these people that have anointed Prescott the man, make sure you're on that anointed table when he starts playing bad, because there's going to be that learning curve that comes somewhere in this season. He's going to have a bad game. He's going to make some bad reads. He's going to make some mistakes. And all those people that are on the table pounding their chest, Evan, better stay on the table and pound their chest, because he's going to have bad games. And that's all I have to say when people get all hyped up after 2 weeks. Again, you don't win the Super Bowl in 2 weeks, and I keep saying that, and you don't, you know, anoint people to a certain level after two games. That's why I said Kirk Cousins playing like crap. He has time to turn the season around. Dak Prescott playing well, but he's a young kid. And as teams watch more film and watch tendencies, they're going to make adjustments for game day. And he's going to have bad games. Heck, even our all pro Evan, Mr. Rodgers, he had a bad game against the Vikings. Even veteran quarterbacks that are one of the best at their position have bad games. So what's going to happen when this young guy, proven, has one or two bad games in a row? Are you still going to pound your chest and say how great he is? I hope you do. I think the kid can be special, and I think he can take over for Tony Romo when Romo's time is done in Dallas. And if it's now and they want to force Romo out, so be it. That's a decision Jerry Jones will make. But I still think that's Tony Romo's team. So that's all I have there.
And now we have one last thing to do tonight, and that is our Pool Bet Award. And yeah, I thought long and hard on this, Trot. And the person I want to give it to, Pool Bet Award, is not an, I'm going to give it to a player, one player and one team. And the player is actually not a player. The person I want to give the Pool Bet Award to, I was watching First Take this morning, and I want to give it to Stephen A. Smith. And here's why. You know, I'm not a Jay Cutler fan, never have been, never will be, but Stephen A. Smith called Jay Cutler the worst quarterback in football. You know, this is the NFL that had the Cleveland Browns are going to be on their third quarterback in 3 weeks. You got Blaine Gabbert starting in San Francisco. You got bad quarterback play going place in. And I know I'm not calling Stafford the worst quarterback in the league. We got bad quarterback play taking place in Detroit. But to me, to call Jay Cutler the worst quarterback in the entire NFL, I think is kind of a stretch. Because have you seen who the Rams are putting on a quarterback? You know, really? Have you seen who the Rams have on a quarterback? And the team I'm giving it to is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Saw Tampa Bay was the real deal after the week one win. And I know they had a cross-country trip too. But they just completely laid the bed in week two, being crushed 40-7 against Arizona. You know, Tampa Bay had a chance to prove that they are legit, and they got shown to be the pretender that they may really be. So what about you?
Well, I got a comment on your Pooh the Bet Award there. So you're giving out two poo balls this week, Evan. Two of them. One to Stephen A. Smith,
well,
and then one to. Oh, go ahead.
Well, so I just had to give it to a team too.
Yeah. Well, you know, hey, on the award, we'll put a duel. We'll put a duel, kind of like each of them get half of the poo ball. So I want to comment on that though, because you're absolutely right. Jay Cutler may be the biggest crybaby in the NFL, but he's not the worst quarterback in the NFL. You know, he's an average to sometimes below average quarterback when he pouts. And he made a terrible throw last night before his injury. And I kind of question, was it a really legitimate injury, or was it just his ego, as he threw a very bad pick and it was returned inside the 5-yard line. He makes some bad decisions, but he's by far not the worst quarterback in the NFL. Like you said, St. Louis, Case Keenum. You're really going to put him ahead of Jay Cutler? I don't think so. Come on, Stephen A. Smith. You know, get your bearings there a little bit before you open your mouth and call him the worst quarterback. You know, like I said, he may be the biggest crybaby in the NFL, but not the worst quarterback. I'm going to kind of stay on the same route with you, Evan. I thought long and hard about the Pooh Ball Award, and I know we're in archive time, so sorry to those live listeners who didn't get my pick. I really, Evan, and it's close, and I'll give my runner-up, which won't go on the official Pooh Ball Award for the Twitter page. Mike McCarthy, Evan, was very close to getting the Pooh Ball. Very, very close. Very close. I was on the fence. I had Mike McCarthy getting it, then I didn't have him getting it. I ultimately went with Jameis Winston of Tampa Bay, a guy that was like night and day. It's almost like a bipolar quarterback. He played great in week one, and then this week, and I will give him a little bit of credit. Arizona has a good defense, but you gave it to the team. I'm staying kind of in the same realm. Team play was bad, but at the end of the day, quarterback play was terrible from Winston. And now, again, he's a guy that still has a big learning curve. He's a young guy in his second year, but just, in my mind, just totally pooed the bed and did not help his team at all. So my Pooh Ball Award, Evan, goes to Mr. Jameis Winston of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And for those listening in, Evan now gave his Pooh Ball to two Pooh Balls this week, Stephen A. Smith and then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So, you know, we're kind of on the same line there too, Evan, but I want to get your quick thoughts. I know we're in archive time, but we can go over a minute or two because I want to get your thought. How close were you to putting Mike McCarthy on the Pooh Ball Award?
Very close until I heard Stephen A. Smith open his mouth today.
Yeah, I mean, it had to be. You know, we talked about it last night. But hope you enjoyed the show tonight, everyone. Tomorrow night is our traditional Twitter talk. If you want Evan and I to talk about any topics, it can be any sport related. Now, most likely be NFL, but we do have baseball, Evan. We're down to a dozen games or so left. In the regular season. So it's going to probably get exciting here in the last 12 games of the season. But tomorrow night is Twitter Talk. You can reach us at Evan Witt Sports or at Red Light Sports. Tweet us out the topics that you want us to talk about. And, Evan, you know what? Even one better for our fans listening in. We know people listen. Put our number in your phone when you listen in live, 646-915-8254. Give us a call. Chat with us about the NFL. Chat with us about Major League Baseball. Evan and I love to interact with the fans. But with that said, for Evan Witalison, I am Troy Otradovic. Hope you enjoyed the show tonight. Fasten your seatbelts. Put your foot on the gas. Evan and I will get back with you tomorrow night, 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central. Have a good night, everyone.